Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to episode 193.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's episode is brought to you by OmniSend. If you're in e-commerce marketing and it feels like those weekly newsletters are no longer powering your growth, you're going to love OmniSend. With more than 3,000 five-star reviews, OmniSend is the go-to choice for nimble Shopify merchants who want to step up from regular email campaigns so you can actually start increasing your sales and not your workload. With OmniSend, you'll be launching pre-built e-commerce automation in no time, as well as intuitively segmenting customers based on their shopping behavior, and even trying out SMS or push notifications, all from the same platform. And the best part? OmniSend provides an immediate boost to your revenue while staying as easy as drag-and-drop email building, with automated emails averaging up to 40% of the total email revenue. So very compelling. Join Duke Cannon, Black Halo, and other high-growth Shopify brands that choose OmniSend to grow their e-commerce businesses on autopilot. Find out more about OmniSend and start free today. No credit card required. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are since you're here today, then you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. I think we're up to 192-ish episodes. There's lots of amazing partners in the Shopify ecosystem. You can learn about their platforms, their offers, the problems they're solving for Shopify brands. All the details are over at ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Philippe, who's the CEO and co-founder of a company called Tatari. And they're a data and analytics company that's helping companies to buy and measure TV ads across both linear TV, which we'll explain in a minute, and streaming TV, the smart television, the set-top boxes and whatnot. It's a great conversation, tons of very timely learnings. I think I'm going to learn a ton here today, too. I have a book of business that I manage at Shopify. Many of these brands on Plus are like, I want to go on TV and I've created some kind of advertisements that I have and I'm just trying to figure out how I get on TV. They're worried about the engagement and just trying to figure out, well, how do I know that it actually works? And I even talked to my lead a moment ago just before recording today and the same thing is I know a lot of people are under misconceptions. They know how wide a reach TV has. They feel they don't know how to measure it. I believe today we're going to learn there is a way. So hi, Philippe. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hi, Steve. Nice to meet you. And thank you for having me. By the way, I know you can't see me right now, but I'm bowing. 192 episodes. That's impressive. Congratulations.
Thank you kindly. Yeah, it's a labor of love. And it's a part of my learning process, to be honest with you. I put the work in to learn about all these different marketing strategies and platforms that connect to Shopify direct-to-consumer brands and just try to have some insights every month of kind of like, what should you think about next on your roadmap for driving more traffic and conversions? And I know Tatari is going to be on the top of my list for the next month or so. That's why I wanted to get this recorded as soon as I can and release as soon as I can. So thanks for being flexible to get on the show today.
My pleasure.
So let's talk a little bit on a high level. I've talked a little bit that this is a data platform, an analytics platform. It really is helping brands get on television. So talk on a high level first, just so we understand the problem that Tatari is solving for a lot of Shopify brands today.
Yeah, I mean, at a high level, I'd say we solve two problems, right? The first one, it's maybe the most important one, is as a commerce company, we need to grow, we need to scale, right? And we do so through advertising. I think the most obvious channels are typically in digital, like search. I mean, literally, we can start a search campaign or an SEM campaign for $1 right now. But what we invariably see is that companies max out on their capabilities to run digital spend, right? There's a point in time where adding another $10,000 to, let's say, the Facebook budget really doesn't drive another sale. It just doesn't make a difference anymore. Right. And so that's kind of the first way in which we come in. TV advertising not only brings performance, and I suspect we'll talk more about that as we get to measurement, but it drives scale. The ability to truly double, triple your budgets, and with that, also see your sales double or triple. So that's part one, and we have great playbook and technology for that. The other piece is really maybe a little bit more emotional in nature. I think TV advertising is still very intimidating to a lot of people, right? It comes with the sum of preconceptions of being very expensive, being unaccountable, and all of those kinds of things. And so we are incredibly positioned to kind of demystify all of this, take that scariness effect out of it, and put it at par and ease and peace of mind like any digital channel. So that's what we do.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. So let's dig a little bit into your journey, because I'm always fascinated why people build what they build. And I know you have a very interesting past, did a little bit of research before recording today. And so I'd like to maybe just, you can share with the audience a little bit about what uniquely positions you. And let's talk about your journey and the founding team. I just would love to understand both all the desires and the expertise around this platform, but what led you to be here today?
Yeah, for sure. Like many things in life or companies, they come about from a personal experience. So there was a point in time actually where I was running a company named TrueCar, which is a pricing information service for cars, where we were trying to grow the business. And as I just mentioned, we kind of had tapped out on all things digital, and we got into the world of TV advertising. And my joke is kind of, you know, all my worst fears came true. In the sense that we spent quite a bit of money. It wasn't that we couldn't see the results, but we just couldn't control the results. Right? Sometimes results were very oscillating in nature, and that makes it ever so scary. And so automotive pricing has actually very little to do with cars. It's all data and analytics and statistics. And it was truly the pricing engineers that helped me understand TV advertising, right? They took a personal interest and curiosity into the data sets and what was going on. They helped me measure TV correctly. And when you can measure correctly, you can optimize. And when you can optimize, you can drive results. And that definitely made a big difference to TrueCar. And so came to Tatari from a very personal experience alongside my co-founders, who actually were at TrueCar back then. A bigger arc, if I kind of look at my career, gosh, almost 30 years now, it's always about data, data and data. My first company was Shazam, and Shazam is a data play in music. I'll help you figure out what the song is and buy it or add it to your playlist. So that's one. Then TrueCar, again, was about data, this time in the automotive space, maybe an industry that wasn't so attractive, especially in 2008, 2010, when Detroit went belly up. And here we are again. We started Tatari exactly 5 years ago. And I would say that when we entered this industry, it wasn't that attractive to many people, especially in Silicon Valley. But remember, we had a much better application of data science and technology to the world of TV advertising as it comes to measurement, as it comes to buying. And here we are. We've now grown to a company with over 200 people and more than 200 clients. So it's been a phenomenal journey.
Thank you for sharing that. I love the number one, the Shazam app. Shockingly enough, I still use it weekly. A lot of times I'm sitting, have a glass of wine with my wife, and a song comes out on the 80s channel, and we try to rack our brains because we know it's healthy to kind of like just figure it out on your own. But sometimes we have a stalemate and we go, no. We got to go to the Shazam app to find it out.
Yeah.
We always play it.
I think there's also a high correlation between wine and the use of Shazam. So that makes a lot of sense.
No doubt. So let's pivot a bit over to our listeners, because I know that TV, as I mentioned, maybe the top of the show, a lot of people can see the reach benefits of being on television. I totally get it. I think it's just trying to understand. And apparently with your platform, you have the data, and through a pixel and certain things, you'll be able to know exactly when your ad is being displayed, when people are watching it, if they come back to the website, if they convert or not. And then can we retarget those people later on Facebook that don't buy? And like, there are lots of interesting topics right now that I think a lot of people are just scared, a little bit of paralysis analysis, a little bit where they see the benefits and they have a budget to be able to produce a nice 15 or 30 second video that really tells the story around their brand. And maybe they're running it on YouTube right now and they're doing their thing. But to gain the widest reach, that's where Tatari fits in. So let's talk a little bit about, like, how does it work? Why am I seeing so many upstarts? And you say you have a couple hundred brands. A lot of these are Shopify brands, ironically enough. So let's talk about like how this whole platform works, why these brands are turning to your platform to start their journey in television.
Yeah, for sure. Look, especially as we look at the younger brands, in that also the faster growing brands, Steve, as I mentioned earlier, they come to us because they need to scale, right? They kind of max out on their digital spend, right? We provide them with a product that gives them a very easy extension, right? We give them a product that feels and looks more like digital and less than TV, right? If I look at the measurement, it's near real time. You know, you don't have to wait weeks before you get some Excel spreadsheet back with some results. It's accurate, as I like to say. Mm-hmm. It may include metrics like view through versus incrementality, right? They're very digital-like in nature, and you typically can't find that in the world of TV advertising. And we give them a buying experience, which is like digital, right? It's more agile, more optimized, it's more transparent. So we see loads of these companies, a Made in Cookware, or a Rotis or a Nutrafol come to us, and then we help them double, triple the business, truly. The interesting piece that you also brought up, and you mentioned it, it's a really important word in the world of TV, is reach, right? Yeah. Because everything that I just mentioned, you now kind of gives them that extension of performance, right? If I spend a dollar, do I make a dollar 20 back? TV as a platform, and just forget about the tariff for a moment, has higher reach than anything else out there except for radio. There's a lot of people still watching TV, which audiences that you can't find on an Instagram or a Facebook or even a search. And so TV advertising, especially as you kind of get into these brand optimizations, really what they are is of course sharing a more aspirational story about your company and product, but it's also about finding new audiences to reach. And you know, the extreme example, of course, is the Super Bowl, right? You run one ad and just one-stop shop. You got the entire country just like that.
Yes. One of my brands that I manage actually ran a Facebook 15-second spot during, I guess, one of the timeouts that were available. They bought it kind of last minute, like weeks before, and pulled the trigger on it. It was in the millions, obviously. And yeah, it was a very interesting opportunity for them. It was something that they, you know, a highly VC-funded company, had some extra cash. They figured it was going to work. And in the end, it did pay off, not instantly, which is typical for a large reach like that. They were able to track it back, and they were quite satisfied with kind of how it flushed out.
Yeah, actually, I'd love to answer a question which you didn't formulate here, but I think it's a wonderful example. This past year, one of our clients who did the Super Bowl was Fiverr. It's really remarkable, right? Because brands or advertisers who buy the Super Bowl, yes, they pay millions for that 30-second spot, and they get that 30-second impression. But what else do they get? Of course, they get, you know, the opportunity to pretty much address the entire country in one fell swoop.
Yes,
and you can, it'd be very hard to do that otherwise. You kind of get to position your brand alongside other big brands, you know, the Coca-Colas and the Progressives. So obviously you signal prestige. If you can afford a Super Bowl ad, you signal quality. And there's definitely, let me just call it kind of a water cooler social media amplifier to it before after, right? Uh-huh. And so next time you want to buy or you're looking for somebody to help with your projects, a Fiverr might unconsciously come to your mind a little faster than other services. And so it's that halo effect. And the Super Bowl really demonstrates as well, those millions of dollars buy you so much more than 30 seconds on TV, so much more. And you're right, we measure all of this, we demonstrate it, and we calculate out how that money was well worth to spend.
Let's talk about linear versus streaming. I think there's a lot of people that are also under some misconceptions. Again, I think one of your teammates was talking to me offline about this because prior to recording that linear television still has an IP address for the most part. And we still know what you're watching. If you're just literally plugging the cable in from the wall directly into your TV, we know, as quote unquote, the cable company knows. We know for streaming for sure with smart televisions and having to stream through IP, we definitely have an IP address from your hosting company or your internet service provider, and that part I get. But maybe from your words, you can kind of explain it clearly and succinctly about linear TV versus kind of this OTT / streaming / smart TVs. Maybe contrast the difference.
Yeah. I think the TV industry is really good at kind of creating that alphabet soup. But let's bring it, just simplify it a little bit, right? There's really two parts. I call it streaming and linear. So let's start with linear, which is kind of the original form of TV. And with that, we mean cable, you know, watching CNN. We mean broadcast, people watching ABC, or satellite, you might be a Dish subscriber, right? And so linear TV typically has what I would call appointment viewing, right? There's a show at 8 o'clock, there's a show at 9 o'clock. And if you want to watch either one of those two, you better be there at those specific times. right? And so that's it. And so today in the United States, that's about a $70 billion advertising industry. As we, of course, all know, is that streaming TV has come up very, very fast and is the future, right? And with streaming TV, again, there you can kind of break it down a little bit, but I would say at a high level, there are OTT, short for over-the-top services. Think of like a Hulu or even a Netflix, whilst it doesn't carry ads. But it could also be what we call a connected TV experience. For example, I watch streaming TV content via my Apple box or Roku box or my Vizio device, right? And so those are really the two. That is growing very fast. I believe this year, coming into 22, we're looking at a projected $11 billion. And it's my fundamental belief that, you know, fast forward 5-10 years from today, all TV content with the ads will be delivered via IP and those streaming experiences. Mm. And so you're right. So as an advertiser, you get to think about which one should I go, right? Mm-hmm. That was a super easy answer 2-3 years ago, right? Because streaming was so small that, remember, you want to get scale and reach, so you may as well go with cable and things like that or linear TV. Right. Today, it's very different. Data science helps us understand where your unique audiences are, where your better performances lay. And so we will, I wouldn't say play them off all day against each other, but we will continuously measure them in an apples-to-apples comparison to allocate the dollars correctly between the two.
Right. Would Amazon Fire TV Stick fit into the same category as a connected TV?
Yep. Absolutely. One of the fastest growing. Yeah.
And they would then have access to certain apps for networks and certain things. So someone could have a Fire TV Stick and choose to watch the ABC app because they're watching their favorite show on ABC. Are you suggesting that your platform could actually inject an ad placement at a certain time through the Fire Stick if they're watching the ABC network app?
Yeah. What it highlights, the example that you give here, Steve, is that there's a myriad of ways in which you can place your ad on the TV. Right, you can contact ABC directly and buy it there, and it goes with the content. Or maybe, yeah, I'll see if I can find a way to place that buy with Amazon, and so it comes kind of in between the ABC ads, but via the Fire device, and so every single impression or airing can easily be purchased in, you know, 5 or 10 different ways. We didn't even talk about local versus national TV. Mm. So untangling all of this, right, underpins the importance of understanding media buying and applying technology, right? Because the same impression or airing could be priced higher or lower depending on how you buy it.
Right. I'm going to talk about like other agencies and just other people in the marketplace right now, because I know it's exciting to get on TV. It's very clear. It's just, there's a lot of apprehensions, but I think that's the purpose of this podcast today, is to educate the market that in fact there is data and analytics available that you can effectively create some creative for a very small amount of money. And you can actually go and test certain local markets, and you can, and Amit, one of your team members brought up a comment too, that, you know, they were trying to get a certain product out into the marketplace, and it turned out that their target audience was for women over 40. And it turned out to be for their target audience that was CNBC at a certain time. It's just like, what? They would never think that that's what they needed to do. But your platform gave them an opportunity. And I think that's the challenge that people have, is just they don't know where to advertise. They want to go on TV and they think it's too expensive. Maybe unpack that a bit. Is it really expensive? And is there a certain investment to want to get involved to test a market out?
Yeah. So it is undeniable that just a few years ago, running a TV campaign was a big budget brand privilege. You had to have a few million dollars to get your seat at the table. And so where would that money go? Well, one, it's the creative, right? The commercial itself, your 30 seconds. And then the other part is, of course, buying your spots or streaming impressions. And so let's talk a little bit about creative first. When I did my first TV campaign, yeah, I think the commercial was a solid $250,000. And my joke is always like a lot of emotional capital as well, because we just couldn't figure out what was the right creative. Right. If I look at a company like Dave.com in the fintech space, well, I mean, I think shot on an iPhone, if I remember well. But anyway, they paid something like $2,000. Calm, the meditation app, spent $200 on their first creative. And guess what? It did really, really well.
Wow.
Right. I think in Calm's example, and I can share this because they actually gone public with this, when they did spend more money on more expensive creatives, and I believe it was the same for Dave, but anyway, they found out that they couldn't necessarily outperform those. So that's part one. So yeah, you can do your creatives much cheaper and faster, not to mention than it used to be. Right. On the media, well, look, like as I said, 5 years ago, you need a few million dollars to get that plan together. I can tell you right now, Steve, that the vast majority of our clients who are new to TV will start with as little as $100,000.
Okay.
Of course, it's still more than a dollar in, let's say, in AdWords, mm-hmm. but it just shows how much down we've been able to drive this. And right. the trick, of course, is then can you, with such small budgets, still find results which are statistically significant? And that's what we'll do at Tari all day long. People who use us, literally the next day after their first airing or impression, they'll see those results and their dashboard segmentable by, you know, publishers or networks and day parts and all that kind of goodies. So it's more than just the price point being driven down by companies like Tari. It's also what do we give in return for that, right? And you get so much more out of it.
So I'm sure there's agencies out there, and you mentioned going direct to ABC or going direct to Amazon. I'm sure there's even agencies that try to get people level up to get on television, and they kind of work their magic however directly they want to do it or through other platforms. But I believe that Tari has been a little bit intentional to differentiate a little bit from others in the industry. Are you able to share what specifically makes Tari unique? I know you talked about data and analytics, but overall for a new TV advertiser, can we talk about your technology in general and why it's maybe different than an agency model versus a SaaS solution that helps people get on television?
Yeah. And I'll be really honest. Actually, I do not know that much about the agency world. Because remember, my background wasn't one of those. And mm-hmm. the joke is ignorance is bliss, you know. But ultimately, I mean, you're right. The differentiation is kind of what you said, right? It's the application of technology mm-hmm. and data science to both the measurement and the buying process. So if you think about the measurement process, a lot of TV advertisers still buy based on what they call impressions. Right, they said, here's $1 million and just make sure that 10 million spots have aired for that. That's okay. That's one, but that's not very comforting as a commerce brand, right? What you really want to know is, well, where were those impressions or spots delivered? Who saw them and did those people buy? Did it drive an outcome, right? And so it's using data science on the measurement sites, which gives us a very different perspective on TV than what traditional advertisers were used to. So that's kind of like, you know, we step away from ratings, we step away from Nielsen and all these kind of traditional notions of TV. On the buying side, again, like traditional advertisers, they'll put a plan together, often large in size, and they commit to it, right? They hit the buy button and they're locked in for the next 6 or 12 months. It's literally called upfront. I mean, it didn't steal its name. And if things change, by the way, like it could be as benign as a creative not working well, but it could be like running out of inventory for sale, right? As a commerce company, you're stuck. Your spots will keep airing and adding insult to injury. And so that buying process is obviously much more agile at Tari, but it's also very optimized. We will pay attention to what works through measurement. And if it works well, we'll do more and vice versa.
This is lovely. So let's pivot a bit over to the holiday season. I mean, the Q4 right now, you know, the back to school season, certainly in the US, is finished. You know, I'm in Canada. That's just started now for the last few weeks. And just all the brands I'm talking to right now, they're just trying to figure out, you know, maybe not the tried and true tactics and strategies. They want to try something new. And I know that television is on people's minds. So is live selling. Is interesting for a lot of people just because it's so big in China and they figure that it should happen here and it's starting to grow here. And same as, you know, really getting down to influencers and micro influencers, another big topic that I'm hearing over on top of the typical discounts. And I know we have supply chain challenges and lots of stuff going on still with COVID, but I just would love to just hear from you, like, what are you recommending? Let's say a Shopify brand today, it could be related directly to your platform, but just an overall strategy. Like, what are you recommending today to have a very successful Black Friday and Cyber Monday and then into the rest of the holiday season?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer is get into TV advertising ASAP. Okay. To test.
Yes.
To test.
Okay.
Find out what works.
Okay.
Right. Which of your commercials is better? Which of your networks and publishers work better? Where can you find audiences which you didn't expect, right? Giving me a kind of sticking the example that you brought up there, right? I think it was a female brand doing well on CNBC.
Right.
So that's one. And once you know that, you want to prepare for, right, that Q4. And we also refer to Q5, that there's those few weeks right after Christmas. But of course, you know, as conversion goes up during those times, you want to make sure that you have all your buys prepared and lined up. right? Because inventory, TV inventory is perishable, especially in cable and broadcast. There's very little inventory going around. And so you need to be able to make decisions today in terms of what you will buy guaranteed, right? I will have my spot run at that day time in this particular show versus, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll just do a lowball bid on a piece of inventory. And if it airs, that's great. If it doesn't, no big deal. I don't pay for it, right? And so understanding with the TARDIS help where the market is, right? And so we'll spend endless time with all of our clients explaining where the media markets are, projecting clearances, these auctions, these media auctions, predicting outcomes, depending on, you know, seasonality and all that kind of stuff, help set up the best campaign possible going into Q4 with confidence. I alluded to Q5. I'd love to add that to there.
Yes.
What we often see is that the 2 or 3 weeks right after Christmas, we call that Q5. Okay. There's a few interesting things happening there. Some of the big budgets in TV have pulled out of the market. Literally, they're on vacation. Right.
Yes,
and so all of a sudden the networks and publishers have a lot more impressions that they want to sell, but nobody's picking up the telephone anymore on the other side, exaggerated.
Yeah.
The other thing is that in those 2-3 weeks after Christmas, as you may have noticed or observed from yourself, Steve, is that a lot of people watch more TV. It's kind of fun. At home, with family, stuff like that. And those are some great tailwinds to have in your campaign. Maybe there's a little bit of headwind, right? You know, some people might be outspent. But then again, if you have a company where you help people save money, or a little, you know, a productivity hack, or, you know, something around intentions, I don't know, weight loss, whichever it is, that actually might be a tailwind again, kind of how you go into the new year. And so we will very aggressively work with all of our clients, line up particular budgets, specific goals, metrics to hit during that time. My joke is it's a little bit like shooting fish in a barrel. Q5 is a real quarter in television, at least at Atari it is.
Lovely. It makes me think a bit about the brands I manage. We always talk about for the holiday season, a lot of people get cash or gift cards, Visa gift cards, you get all different things like that. Even gift cards for the brands that they purchase with. So imagine being able to have some advertisements out there just to remind people that, you know, a sale is on or what's available. And they're just like, and they're more apt to spend now. If it's a Visa gift card, you can go to the local merchant and go and buy it. Because usually, you know, leading up to BFCM and through BFCM, share of wallet is usually, I mean, 70, 80% of all the money being spent over holidays is happening all in 4 days. Like all of it, 80% of all the money.
Yeah.
So if we know that, like how does TV fit into that mix? If in fact BFCM is such the biggest time, is that a poor time to do TV advertising because it's larger, bigger budget, larger advertisers? Or are you suggesting just kind of arbitrage it a bit in Q5 for some of those that want to dabble in it, like kind of post-Christmas?
Yeah, each company has its own seasonality and products and you have to pay attention to this. So you cannot go through this with broad strokes. But at a high level, deciding to get into TV advertising big in that 1 week is probably not the right approach.
Okay.
Right? Because in the beginning, we already said you can create a phenomenal amount of awareness through doing reach buys, introducing people, new people to your product.
Right.
And they may not buy, but you create awareness. But they might at that time also consider you. Right? They might check out your website. Right, and they might not do anything yet, but they'll look at it. And so now they're into the consideration set. And so one of the things we'll do at Atari right now is truly out of awareness and consideration driving conversion. We'll retarget those people. And so we'll using streaming technology and anonymous data, we'll try to do a very calculated, I won't say guess, but stab at who we believe has expressed an interest in your product. And we'll make sure that they see that ad again. So maybe that's the campaign you drive during those very particular days, because by the time BFCM hits, you should have already been there, right? People should know about you already.
Yeah, that's very true. What about the people that view an ad? I guess you have some kind of a tracking pixel on the website. They view an ad, they come to the website, don't purchase. I mean, is that a typical kind of like with the brand then just retarget themselves back on Facebook and Instagram on their own based on the traffic and UTMs or however they're tracking the origin of that lead to the website they didn't buy? Or does Tatari have some kind of connection back to Shopify or back to Facebook and Google about the fact that, hey, they viewed a TV ad. We believe they haven't purchased yet based on our tracking pixels. Hey, brand, we can retarget it on television for you again, which is interesting. Or and can we also go on social media and retarget because we know you saw our ad on television?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously we are a TV company. We focus on the world of TV advertising and the application of retargeting there. I think there's maybe a little bit of an exhaustion of especially social media retargeting, to be honest. I think also what's phenomenal, which actually creates a positive experience, if you have been researching a product, let's say you found a product through search or social media and you've been researching the product, and then in a lean back, comfortable position, you actually get to see the product as a video, a 30-second immersive experience, possibly kind of adjacent to some great show. In my subjective opinion, it makes for a better retargeting experience rather than scrolling through your Instagram feed and getting annoyed at all those same ads again. That's just my personal take on it. So we focus very much on
Fair
TV.
Enough.
Yeah.
But I love it. Let's pivot to a story because I think we all love stories, obviously. I mean, we're entrepreneurs, we're marketers. I think it's the education and a little bit of the inspiration that comes from others, I believe, that can really help motivate all those that are listening today. And like, are you able to maybe share like a recent journey of a Shopify brand? They've implemented the Tari platform. I just would love to hear the story of like how they find you and what did they do? Who are they? And just what sort of results did they get, you know, based on aligning themselves with Tari?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'll point one out, a company that literally launched on TV this week, which is a Shopify platform user, a company called Bobby. Uh-huh. They have organic formula, which, by the way, I'm personally a big believer in. Anybody who's gone through the journey with baby feeding and difficulties, it's a gift from God. And so one great way in which these brands, Shopify brands, can find out about the Tari is actually on the Shopify platform itself. We went through great lengths and technology pains to build an app on Shopify. And it makes for a delightful experience. You can go on the Shopify platform, look up Tari, and with a single click of the button, you can prep your company to be 100% ready for TV in the sense that all the data instrumentation, all the hookups are done. All your data, whether it's, you know, visitor data, again, all that's all anonymous, sales data, that all comes to Tari and flip it around just like that into a media plan and put you on TV the next day, assuming, of course, there's that creative. So that's kind of like a journey, which I love, because it's so not innate, but it's so part of the whole Shopify experience, you know, launching to TV from there.
I just love the fact that there's a direct connection with Shopify. I actually went to the App Store today before recording, and, you know, they've got like lots and lots of 5-star reviews. So, like, I know you're newish in the Shopify world, but it's interesting that of the people that have, you know, made the decision, you know, these are more upscale clients, you know, because they're doing TV and they have some kind of creative they put together and they're trying to get the word out. These are more, you know, growing and scaling brands. They're probably not really into wanting to give reviews. It's not like we're buying like a $50 item or something and, you know, you're motivating them to give a review. So this is a very small sampling, but it's interesting where, you know, we have some more upscale. As you said, it could be $50,000 to have it to test a campaign out. And here's people that have added the app and are seeing value and they're giving like 5-star reviews for it already and being so new in our ecosystem. So that means something that you're onto something.
Yeah. Actually, I'm just checking them out myself. And this is so cool. I didn't notice myself the feedback that we've got. Yeah, it's great. And look, we are hands down, I mean, we launched this probably 6 months ago. Tari is the first company to really meet the smaller brands, the smaller commerce players, and giving that gateway into TV advertising. Remember how I said, let's take out the intimidation and the fact that TV could be scary.
Yes.
A click of the button, your instrumentation is done. We actually just saw that the Roku copied this strategy today. Ironically, by the way, we had a good laugh. They called them first to market, but I think we may need to correct them on this. But nevertheless, you know, it's the best, you know, what is it? Copying is the best form of flattery. So I'll take it from Mighty Roku.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for sharing that. And like, the app is amazing. I'll make sure that I put that in the show notes. I got a lot of stuff that I put in the show notes today. We've been learning a ton here today. I'm excited to share this opportunity. Let's talk just about the future of the platform. I mean, you're newish on Shopify, but you kind of been 5 years in the market doing this sort of thing. You're able to maybe chat about the North Star, I guess, into next year, platform innovation, just end of the day, it'd just be nice to share with the audience about like, how are you going to continue to iterate or offer value to Shopify brands as it relates to television?
Yeah, I mean, look, it is my dream and very determined intention to have every single Shopify brand on TV in the same way that every single Shopify brand is on, I don't know, Google AdWords or Facebook ads. Hopefully there's something that we can take away here is that TV advertising with the right data science and technology can be done by everybody, right? And we want to break down these barriers. Mm-hmm. And if we have a few hundred clients today, and surely, yes, some of them will do TV and large volumes with Super Bowl ads, we believe that the smaller but fast-growing commerce brands should equally take advantage of it. And we want to be the company through which all of that flows. We have the measurement, we have the buying. It's all there. And above all, we can scale them because, you know, small companies don't remain small.
You got it. So, Philippe, we are nearing the end of the show for today. How can people learn more about your solution? Where can they go? I know we have the Shopify App Store and you can look up for that. And is there anything else that you want to share today?
Yeah, I was going to say, just go on Shopify. You just quick search Shopify Tatari and you'll see us there. It has all the info needed. Tatari website is almost kind of like a book guideline on TV advertising. We publish a lot, publish in detail with clients and real data, certain articles, deeply technical or data scientific in nature. I would recommend anybody to check those out. And last but not least, we're a really nice bunch of people.
That's
you know,
good.
Just shoot us an email, contact details on the site or hello@tatari.tv. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to just in general guide you on how to approach TV advertising. You know, it's kind of like there's no expectation that you're going to do this tomorrow. There's lots of things going on, but we can help you be prepared for that world and success.
Lovely. I love your insights blog too. I'm a subscriber to it. I think I'm going to start syndicating some of this content that's on here and have it syndicated on e-commerce fast lanes. I think more and more people, I love your mission now of saying that you almost want to democratize access to television. You want to make it easy. And I think, you know, that's what Shopify is all about. It's just building a path that leads to more entrepreneurs.
Yep.
And so if you're leading that path to television and Shopify is leading that path to entrepreneurship, this is a win-win situation that I just really massively appreciate.
Absolutely. And everybody in the company, in anybody at the Tatari who's listening to this now knows how driven I was to get our Shopify app up months ago, because it is exactly what there's such great synergy and seeing it all happening. And by the way, like it's hard to express this now, but seeing all these reviews and ratings of the app, I didn't realize this is really, really cool. It's exactly what I had hoped for.
And I know a lot of these brands too. I'm seeing like Manly Bands and I'm looking at these tea company and like, hey, I know all these people. So this is fantastic.
Lovely.
So thanks, Philippe. I just, once again, really appreciate coming on the show today. I just appreciate you sharing that. Just the knowledge sharing today, I think is super key. And I think, you know, your vision, just giving back to this ecosystem, I think is really important. I wish you like tremendous success in the Shopify ecosystem. This is going to be widely shared internally and externally. So I'm hoping that more people can learn that it's accessible. TV is an option for you as a brand, and Tatari has the platform to help you with that. So once again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
All right, take care. Today's episode of E-commerce Fastlane is brought to you by Omnisend. Now, Omnisend is an email and SMS marketing platform built for nimble Shopify merchants who want to increase their sales, not their workload. Full Shopify integration, pre-built automation workflows, intuitive segmentation, and best part, no code editing makes it easy to get up and running without diving into the nitty-gritty details, of course, unless you want to. Now, more than 70,000 e-commerce brands use Omnisend to grow their businesses on autopilot, converting their customers with quick-to-build, highly relevant emails and text. Find out more about Omnisend and start free today. No credit card required. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.